95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer. It's our first Coach's Corner of 2025 with the start of the new year. I'm in the big chair once again on WBCK for another week of Coach's Corner for the boys' basketball season. Coming to you from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the high school coaches about the week in sports. And we will continue to do that as we look ahead to another week of the high school basketball season with our first coach of the morning. But first, here is the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. We're coming off the holiday break, which was highlighted by the Chuck Turner Classic at the Battle Creek Central Fieldhouse. All five core city schools were involved in the annual event. In boys basketball, Union City beat St. Phil with a shot at the buzzer, 50-47. Harbor Creek and Lakeview faced off for the only time this season, with Harbor Creek coming away with a 70-59 win. And host Battle Creek Central lost to Penfield, 48-41. Girls basketball teams from the city also got busy at the Chuck Turner Classic. Lakeview beat Harbor Creek 46-27. Union City knocked off St. Phil 58-44. And Monroe St. Mary beat host Battle Creek Central 44-34. For most of the teams, that was the only action during the holiday break. Several teams were back on the court for the first time last night after the holidays. In the Inquirer game of the night, St. Phil had a unique experience and were able to play at the Chrysler Center on the campus of the University of Michigan. They played East Jordan, and they came away with a win, 52-47 in the boys' basketball game. The St. Phil girls were also involved, and the Tigers lost to East Jordan in their game. In other boys' basketball game action last night, Lakeview lost on a three-pointer at the buzzer to Parma Western, 60-58, and Penfield beat Lake Odessa, 61-50. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this break on Coach's Corner on 95.3 FM WBCK.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer. We're here with our first coach of the morning, Coach Bowling of the Harbor Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
And Happy New Year to you. We have we're back for what we kind of call the second season. We got through the holiday break, and things are getting rolling now till we get to the finish line. How was your break?
It was good. Yep. It was good. Went fast, but
it was good. That's right.
Happy New Year to you.
Yep. So Harbor Creek played one of the big games during the break at the Chuck Turner Classic, and one of the games we kind of look forward to. And Harbor Creek faces off with city rival Lakeview. You guys were playing downtown a couple days after Christmas and came away with that 70-59 win over Lakeview. And that was a lot of fun, great atmosphere, and it always kind of makes it for a special night down there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's always a good place to play, especially that game. A lot of people, I think, were in attendance for our game, and it was good to see a lot of people out and enjoying their holidays and taking some basketball in, too. And the fact that we played pretty well that evening, that was even better.
Yeah, you guys did. You jumped out early and got that fast start that's so important, up 20-10 in the first quarter. And then you still led by that 10-point lead at intermission, 35-25. And that fast start in that kind of atmosphere when kind of people aren't in a normal situation, not in their usual circumstances, not coming off out of school. So that fast start, how important was that for all those reasons?
Well, you nailed all the reasons. And the other reason is because we're playing a quality team. So I think the other part is like you said, that kind of propelled us the rest of the evening. We were able to make some big shots when they made some runs to kind of still keep them at bay. But that was the big thing for us, was to get out quick, and they just kind of had an uphill battle. And we've all been there, and you expend a lot of energy in a comeback, and it's hard to get over the hump. And we were able just to kind of keep them at that hump and did a good job with that, responding and making some big shots.
Lakeview kind of came back at you a little bit right after the halftime break, and they had a 10-4 run and cut the lead to 39-34. But then you, like you said, you responded with a early spurt in the fourth quarter yourself. 10-2 run got you guys up 59-45. That was highlighted by five straight points by Dylan Eversall for you. And then overall, and then you held on to win that game late. Spencer Denny led you with 17 points, and Eversall had 16 points, five rebounds. Braden Best had 15 points. Trey Cotton had 8 points, seven rebounds. So another all-around team effort, which is kind of what's been your hallmark this year, and that was good to see, right?
Yeah, we don't have just one guy we lean on. We have some pretty good balance, and that was on display again that night. So our balance was there. And then we still had a lot of contributions from other guys as well. So that was good to see. We just have to continue playing that way, making sure we share the ball and movement. Ball and player movement's a big key for us offensively, and not settling.
And that victory put you guys at 7-1 before the break, and that had to feel awfully good going into, you know, finishing up that first section of time. And I imagine that's how you kind of split up the season and coming out like that. How does that feel as a coach? How you feel as a team?
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, we're pretty darn happy being 7-1 right now. I mean, the other part, reflecting back and looking at that, is we're 7-1, and so there's 8 games played, about a third of our way done, and we've only had 2 out of the 8 games have been at home. So we've survived what we've needed to do on the road, and really done a nice job playing on the road. And it'll be nice to kind of come play at home a little bit since we haven't really had that opportunity.
Looking at the schedule, it looks like you have 4 straight home games coming up right away. And a big one is Penfield coming up this week, and another one with Coldwater, so 2 games in the league. At 7-1, you're allowed to be thinking about those big things, hopefully being in the running for the league championship this year and with your experienced group. So a big week for you with 2 Interstate 8 conference games. How do you kind of get ready for that right off the bat, coming off the break, and making sure everyone's has their mind right?
Well, you can't get too far ahead of yourself. I mean, the league really doesn't mean anything. We're in second place right now. I mean, the next game we play is the most important game we have, and that is on Tuesday. So you kind of have to do this one. I mean, this sounds cliche, but you have to do this one game at a time. You can't look ahead. Can't look past anyone. So we have to have our focus entirely on Penfield coming up on Tuesday.
And that's not hard to do. That's a rivalry that's been nice to watch from the fan perspective. And Penfield Harbor Creek has given us some good games over the years. And it's always fun to watch two city rivals there going at it. And they have a bigger team this year, a big front line. And that's kind of not what your forte is right now with your squad. You guys use a lot of depth and a lot of quickness and kind of a differing styles, you know, styles kind of make fights is what we kind of say that, and that should be a lot of fun to watch. And how do you kind of deal with that in terms of what you've thought about in the scouting report for Penfield right now?
Well, that's kind of, I mean, it was no different than how it was last year. We talked about that their strength is not necessarily our strength, and our strength isn't theirs. It's kind of going to come down to be like a battle of wills, and seeing what we can do. The fortunate part about this is We're pretty much in this situation most nights, so we've seen been in the situation with their size and where people want to play through their bigs and go inside and out, and so we're familiar with that, and we just have to roll up our sleeves and maybe ugly at times, and we just got to play through those ugly moments and just keep battling and hope we do enough on the perimeter and their guards take advantage of what they might need to do, and hopefully that'll carry us.
And let's circle back to that 7-1 start again a little bit. That has come from a lot of different places from your whole team. The idea that getting a little help from everybody. You don't have one leading scorer that's, you know, hitting 20, 25 points a game. You have all guys kind of balanced, and I think that's what you like about this team. If you had, you know, 7 guys that were all averaging 8 points a game, you'd be happy. That's the kind of team that you kind of have. Talk about that team and maybe the standouts for you, or maybe some of the surprises.
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of surprises based on what we've done to this point. The kids set some high standards for themselves, and we've kind of kept them in house, and we're going to continue to do that. But I don't think they're surprised necessarily. The players in the locker room are surprised. We just have to continue to do what we do and do it at a high level and make it about our standards and how we play and make sure that we're sharing the ball and keeping the ball movement, because honestly, that's what makes us go. And the other part of it is hard. If you're playing against us, you can't just take one person away, because we got, you know, seven capable guys. Well, let's see. We've had eight different guys in double figures this year. So, I mean, that's tough to defend if you're going against us.
And all of that comes from that very experienced team. All these guys have playing time from last year, and they came in rolling this year and knew what you wanted from them and knew what it took to be successful because of that nice finish that you had last year. How happy are you that they were able to roll into this year and use that momentum from last year? And what's it going to take to keep that going? Did you guys have a pretty good break talking about those kind of things?
Well, break has been kind of tough, to be honest. After a game, we've been kind of battling the sickness bug this week. So we really haven't had everybody there this week yet. So we're trying to get everybody back healthy this week. And then we're going to address some of those things on Sunday to try to push us ahead to the back half of the season. So, we're pleased, but we're far from a finished product, and we need to continue to grow and gel as we continue.
Well, Harper Creek, we're looking forward to a game with Penfield on Tuesday and a game with Coldwater, both at home on Friday. Harper Creek fans can kind of come out and watch this 7-1 team and see what they have to offer in the second half of the season here. Congrats on the fast start, Coach, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on this on 95.3 WBCK FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Wickman of the Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How are we today?
Hey, we're doing fine. Wonderful. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
You had an eventful break. You shoved in a couple games there, and we'll knock them down a couple times. We just talked to Harper Creek Coach Matt Bowling, and you're the other side of that. You had a big game at the Chuck Turner Classic, and that was a lot of fun for the fans that came downtown to watch that, to kind of break up their holiday. Harper Creek came away with a 70-59 win. But you said a couple times before that's, regardless of the score, that's always a great experience for the kids to play down there at the Fieldhouse, and that experience and playing in that historic Fieldhouse itself. And that's the kind of experience you had that night, right?
Yeah, I thought it was, about an hour before the game, I talked to Matt, and there was no one there. And I thought, Jesus, is no one coming tonight or what? Right. And then it filled up pretty nice, and it got pretty exciting. And, give them a lot of credit. The crowd didn't have a ton to cheer about for our side, because they jumped on us early and, just played a little bit harder than us early and got a nice little lead. And we spent a good portion of the night trying to catch up, and that's tough to do sometimes.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were talking about before. You fell behind 20-10, and you're still behind double digits at halftime, 35-25. And after the intermission, you came out and made that nice run and with a layup by Pearson Blair and made it 39-34. That's about as close as you got for most of the night. Harper Creek kind of responded with that with a spurt of their own. You made one last charge, a 10-2 run, to cut the lead to 65-59 with a three-pointer by Spencer Shotwell. And but then they kind of held you off from there. You were playing a little shorthanded. Your All-State point guard didn't play LeBron Campbell, but Braden McGill had a big game for you. 22 points and 9 rebounds. I know that seemed to you like a breakout game for him. You kind of talked to him about that afterwards. And Blair had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Tavion Newton had 9 points, 5 rebounds. A nice, well-rounded group for you that night, and getting a lot of points from everywhere. And I think that's what you had to like to see about that, right?
Yeah, it was nice to see Braden break out a little bit. They were kind of daring him to shoot from the free throw line, which doesn't surprise me. Braden's not really known as a shooter, but he's worked on it real hard over the summer and knocked down quite a few shots up there. And then they had to change up some things a little bit. And I thought His presence, just being able to knock that shot down, was huge. And I thought at times, you know, like I just said, you know, you fight uphill battle the whole game and you can't quite get over the hump. And I felt like at times we were right there. But, you know, again, give them tons of credit. They're a hard team to guard. And when they get the lead, you know, they're well coached. They know how to take care of the ball. They know how to move people, move the ball, and, you know, take 35, 40, 50 seconds off the clock, you know, with the lead, and then knock down the shot too. And they're well coached. Their team is so balanced that it's hard to you know, you can't really focus on one guy, and they're always moving. And, you know, I thought we did a halfway decent job, but every time I looked up, we were down 8 or 10 points, you know. Right. So, you know, it was a little bit frustrating in that regard, but I thought that, you know, after the first quarter, we played pretty well.
And then you came right back and you played a game last night. So you snuck in two games during the holiday break. You played Parma Western, and you lost 60-58. The game went down to the wire. Parma Western hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to beat you. You guys had a one-point lead at that point. And in that game, you trailed big early again. But then you had a huge fourth quarter to get back in there, climbing out of that hole. And you almost made it all the way to that hole. You outscored them 29-14 in the fourth quarter to make it a game. But fell a little short there. And kind of set up how that kind of last quarter kind of went for you.
Well, you know, we got desperate. It was a close nip and tuck game the whole way until like the middle of the third quarter. They made a run. We didn't respond really. So we were down about 15 or so, I guess. And so we had to go to our press and really try to trap the ball in the corner. And they threw the ball to us a few times, and we got some buckets. And next thing you know, Mo's going, right? And we got Mo on our side, and Mo's knocking down shots, and Mo's stealing the ball, and we're getting to the foul line, we're scoring without the clock running, and, you know, you look up, and there's 9 seconds to go, and we're up one. LeBron hit a free throw to put us up one. They took the ball across half court, called timeout, and then, I don't know, we switched to zone because we didn't want to foul. And we were worried about, they had a kid that had just been driving. And I think it screwed them up. I think they were confused on what to do when they came out of the timeout. And the young man that caught the ball looked around and saw the clock was ticking down and threw it up there and it went in, you know. And then that's the beauty and the agony of the game of basketball, you know. I mean, if that doesn't go in, we're all celebrating a huge, great comeback. And instead, we're all feeling like we got punched in the gut this morning a little bit.
Well, you got LeBron back on the court last night. He had a big game, 35 points, 9 rebounds. Jackson Hardy played big in the paint for you at 11 points. Talk about how tough it is to kind of play those games before you're even back in school. The Holiday Classic is one thing where everyone kind of gets ready for it and gets up for that. But then this game, the Friday when the kids aren't back in school and they're looking forward to trying to finish off their holiday break and they're not back in school until Monday, And you still have to kind of put a game plan together and get some practices and get everyone focused on playing a game. That can be a challenge right there.
Yeah, I don't think we'll do it again, Bill. I mean, I just you know, when it's May and you're making the schedule out and you're going, oh, yeah, January 3rd is the day. You know, that's right after New Year's. That'll be a great time to play. And then you figure out later on as you're looking at it, oh, that's the Friday before we go back to school. Nobody wants to go back to school, right? So that was a challenge, and we met that, you know, I mean, we talked about that elephant in the room before the game, like, what is your motivation tonight? How are you preparing yourself mentally to get after this? Because, you know, there's no, you know, if we were playing Battle Creek Central or Harper or, you know, a natural rival, you don't worry about those things. But you're going to Jackson Parma Western, who we've played once in the last 20 years, last year, right? And so we were worried about that, and we talked about that. And, you know, I'm a huge believer in, like, if there's an elephant in the room, let's talk about it. And I thought we came out, and, you know, the first quarter was 9-9. Second quarter was they outscored us by 5. You know, but we just didn't have the energy that we normally have. And that was disappointing because we had three great practices last week. And we really did. We got after it Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and I thought we had made some progress with our defense, and things were looking a little bit better. And then, you know, you just you never know when you're dealing with. I don't know how many people remember Mark Sisko. He's one of our old football coaches. He always said, we got to be insane. We're putting our happiness in the hands of 16, 17-year-old kids. And you just don't know how they're going to react sometimes. And I was disappointed with how we, you know, reacted in the middle of the game. But that, the fourth quarter was about the best quarter we've played all year as far as doing the things that we want to do, turning people over and getting easy shots. And, you know, so that's a bright spot. That's something to look forward to. And like I said, if that shot doesn't go in, it's the best win ever.
That's right. Yeah.
You know,
and you've had a couple of those wins. You had and that's kind of been your up and down season so far. And we kind of look at the season in sections, and like the first half of the season, we talk a lot about that before the holidays is that, and then the second season is coming up here, and you guys went 3-5 in that first part, but some big wins and then some frustrating losses, like you said, and it's been up and down, and you kind of still feel like. Even now, you still feel like your team is still kind of coming together in terms of the way the season is set up. There hasn't been a real regularity to it, but now that you get the second part of the season, are you looking forward to that and getting on a more regular basis, playing two times a week, and getting kind of on a roll?
Yeah, for sure. I think as much as we all enjoy vacation, you know, when you do basketball, you get the Thanksgiving vacation, you get the Christmas vacation, you get. The winter break, you know, there's so many irregularities. It's hard to get into that two games a week and three practices a week routine. But I told the kids last night after the game, we're going to be in it. We're going to be in, you know, next week we're Tuesday, Saturday, and then we're Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Tuesday. I mean, we're playing two games a week every week pretty much from here on out. And so that routine will take care of itself in the next few weeks here. Whether that leads to us being better or not, I don't know. I hope it does. But, you know, we've got a lot of good pieces. We just got to figure out a way to put everybody together and get some of these close games.
You play at home against Caledonia on Tuesday, a makeup game on Saturday, right? That's Porter Central game?
Correct. Yeah, that was snowed out Thursday prior to break.
Is that at home or is that on the road there?
That's home.
That's home game. Yeah, so you have two home games coming up this week.
Yep.
Caledonia on Tuesday, Porter Central on a Saturday game. Is that afternoon or are you going to go 7 o'clock on a Saturday for that one?
Saturday's going to be afternoon. I think we're starting the freshman game at 11.
All right.
And then we'll go from there.
So a big week at home for the Lakeview Spartans as they get ready to start rolling in the second half of the season and getting things with some more rhythm and getting going. And it should be a fun time for everybody. Like you said, a lot of nice pieces and a couple really nice wins already to kind of build on. So it should be a lot of fun. Thanks for coming down here, Coach.
All right, Bill. I appreciate it. Let's hope it snows all day again today, right?
That's right. All right.
Holy cow.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning. We have Coach Robbie Hatton, the Penfield Panthers, on the phone. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How's things going for you?
Hey, we're doing great. Happy New Year to you, and thanks for joining
you
us
well.
This morning.
Thank you.
We have... You had an eventful off break with the kids on holiday break, and it started with the Penfield Panthers down there at Chuck Turner Court during the Chuck Turner Classic, which is always fun for all the fans to kind of be involved in, and you were able to have the marquee game of the night. You played host Battle Creek Central in the final night of the 55th annual Chuck Turner Holiday Classic, and you came away with that 48-41 win. Talk about that experience as a first-time head coach for the Penfield Panthers, and getting to play at historic Battle Creek Central Fieldhouse and having your kids get a victory in the same time.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I'm new to the event, new to the Battle Creek basketball scene, and I'm not going to lie, I saw that, you know, and why are we playing in a game 2 days after Christmas? You know, and then got there, and it's just such a cool environment. You know, they've done a great job of really, really showing the history of that building and basketball and Battle Creek in general. And this event kind of symbolizes the history of Battle Creek basketball. And not just Battle Creek Central, you know, all of the local schools as well. So it was a really cool event. I was happy to be in it. And, you know, obviously getting a win was nice. But, you know, I thought it was more about the experience of the event than anything. And, you know, it was good. It was just good to be in it. Lauren did a great job of running a very smooth event.
The low-scoring game early, and you led 19-15 at halftime, and you stretched that lead a little bit by the end of the third quarter, up 30-21. Valkyrie Central kind of come at you a little bit in the fourth quarter and cut the lead to a single basket, 38-36, with a couple of free throws by the Bearcats, and then you had a fast break up and under basket by Johnny Lake, and that put you back up 42-36, and then he grabbed a big rebound on the other end of the court and gave you another possession, and that kind of ended the Bearcats' rally from there. And getting that lead and then on that home court of Valkyrie Central and seeing them come back, you had to like how your kids kind of held their composure and held on and got that big win in that kind of environment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one thing that, you know, we've really shown this year some resilience. You know, we've had some games where we've gotten up quite a bit and with the battle back. Oh, and we're getting teams best a lot lately. You know, we've been playing some good basketball. So, you know, teams that come out for us, you know, they're gunning for us. And, you know, and I'll tell you, going back and watching the film of Battle Creek Central, I think the biggest thing is we just weren't being very aggressive. We didn't shoot terribly. At first, after the game, I was like, man, we shot a terrible percentage tonight. We didn't. We just weren't really looking for our shots. You know, we didn't have anybody that really wanted to step up and be the aggressive player and say, hey, guys, we can handle this. We're all right. And we let their pressure get to us a little bit, and that really just got us out of rhythm. So, you know, it's one thing we've really stressed lately is we can't let other teams be the more aggressive teams. We've got to continue to be the aggressive team. We've got to continue to run and gun. I mean, we're trying to get 55 to 70 shots up a game, and I think against Battle Creek Central, we only shot the ball 38 times. So just weren't really looking for our shots. We just weren't really playing composed, and something that we're definitely working on.
Yeah, Coach Crum said that, you know, they wanted the game in the 40s, and maybe that's kind of what they were looking for, to try to muck up the game a little bit to make sure it could stay in the 40s, because they don't have a ton of offense, and they were able to get the game going at their tempo, and that made the game close in the end. Johnny Lake led you with 17 points. Calvin Pazins had 10 points, and at that point, you guys came out of the break with a 6-2 record, and you had to feel good about things going into last night's game, and you were able to sneak in a game right after the holiday break and before the kids came back, and played Lake Odessa, and came away with a 61-50 win. And we talked to Coach Wickman about this a little bit. Talk about the challenges of getting a Friday game before the kids go back into school and trying to get those practices in after the holidays and making sure everyone's on the same page. And it seemed like you did a pretty good job with that last night.
Yeah, so I mean, here's the thing is, you know, over break, you know, our school, we're not allowed to practice on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. So we just had to be creative. You know, we had to practice on the weekends, you know, which then you're fighting family time. And, you know, it's just being a juggling act. You know, one of the biggest hats that coaches wear is jugglers. And, you know, it's just we got to juggle everything and try to find times that work. And our kids did a great job of attending as much as they could. And, you know, we had a good break. We got better in a lot of areas. We really focused on just the little things. And then, you know, I love that we got a game in last night right before we get back in. I mean, we got a big one on Tuesday with Harper Creek. So I think it's going to help us a little bit just with our legs. You know, you don't want to go 2 weeks without a game. And, you know, last night you could see even after a week without a game, we were a little rusty at first. You know, our legs weren't quite there yet, so it took us a little bit to get going. You know, but it was good. I really like playing Lakewood. You know, good team, good physical team, great coach, real fun to play with.
Johnny Lake had another big game for you, 24 points, 15 rebounds. Zach Walling stepped up and had 11 points and 3 rebounds. And that puts you at 7-2. And we talked all morning about how coaches like to segment the season into sections and, you know, the first half of the season and then the kind of a natural break. And you're talking about the second half of the season after the holidays. And to come out in your first season with Penfield Panthers at this program and kind of coming in new, knowing a ton about what you had and not having these kids underneath your wing last year, and you go 7-2 to start, you have to be pretty excited about that. Is that right?
Yeah, for, I mean, here's the thing. You know, the one great thing about basketball is we've all already made the playoffs. So, you know, we use the regular season to get better. We really need to be clicking at the end of the season. When districts rolls around, 7-2, 2-7, 1-8, the record's the record. We've got to keep getting better every day. You know, I don't want to peak at the beginning of the season. I don't want to peak in the middle of the season. I want us to be playing our best basketball at the district time. Kind of like what Penfield did last year. They had a lot of close games at the beginning of the year. I think they were 8-14 in the regular season, come out and roll off 3 in a row to win a district title. And they were playing well at the end of the year, and that's what we got to keep doing. You know, we don't want to be playing our best basketball now. We want to be playing our best basketball in February.
And you're coming out of the break, and you have a big one to make sure that the focus stays there. It won't be hard to do that, as Penfield will play at Harper Creek on Tuesday. The kids always get excited for that matchup. It's a conference game. It's a city rivalry game. It's a game that's given local city basketball fans a lot to watch and enjoy over the years. It's always been a good game and a good clash. And this year is kind of a little clash of styles. You have shown that you can go big on the inside. You've shown that you can shoot from the outside with all your three-pointers. And you have both those things going. And then Harper Creek has a balanced attack. A lot of guys, 8-9 guys that can lead them in scoring over the season. And that's a game to get excited for. And it's a big game that kind of gets you going in the second half of the season and get you off to a nice start if things go well for you. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll tell you, I think Matt Bowling's probably one of the best coaches in the area. He's coaches that team up really well. Runs a lot of different styles. He can throw 4 or 5 different presses at you. His team's always prepared. I was at the Harper-Penfield game last year, and they seemed to have our number a little bit. But you know what? Our kids, again, we're going to keep playing our game, keep getting better. And like I said, we're going to be playing our best basketball in February. I think it's going to be a good basketball game. You know, they run a very balanced attack. They have some size. They have some grit. The best kid's a heck of a basketball player. He's a good leader for them. And then if they need to go big, they can throw old big Zach Kitchens down there. He can defend the paint pretty well. So they're a very balanced team. And I think it's going to be a great matchup for us. We just gotta play our game. When we play our game, we're a pretty darn good basketball team. But when we let other teams dictate tempo and physicality, that's when we start to get in trouble a little bit. So it's the biggest thing. It's our biggest thing we're working on today and tomorrow is, just us being the ones that control the tempo, us being the ones that control the pace of play, and not getting off of our game.
And that's all about self-scouting, right, Coach? That's what we're kind of looking at this time of year.
Absolutely. And
you're able to see what you've done well and what you haven't, what you need to kind of work on. What are the kind of things that you've seen and maybe some of the kids that are kind of stepped up in the bigger roles for you that you kind of liked so far this season and have gotten you excited about for the second half of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing is what we're looking at is we're a very good basketball team and we're getting out and running when our press is creating some chaos. We're moving on defense. You know, that's the biggest thing is when we're moving on defense, we're moving our feet, getting our hands going. Our team really plays really well. So it's breaking down film, watching, seeing, hey, listen, where are your hands at? Are your hands down? Are they up? Are your feet moving? Are you playing good gap defense? Are you shifted over towards your player? So when we do that and we see the little things, that's when we're pretty darn good. Obviously the kids have stepped up. I mean, we're pretty balanced for the most part. Every game we got guys that are, 4 to 8 points. And then, occasionally you get one guy that steps up, there's Johnny Lake, Brevin Bailey, Calvin Payton, Zach Walling, those are our leading scorers. And then occasionally you'll get a kid like Tommy Wright or Dre Bailey that'll drop 10. So we're pretty balanced for the most part. Our offense doesn't center around one player. Against against Eaton Rapids. I mean, Calvin had 8 threes that game. You know, and then last night, you know, they kind of had a guy on Calvin most of the game, making sure he couldn't get threes. So now you pick your poison. So if you're gonna defend Calvin hard at the three line and not help out with Johnny, Johnny's gonna drop 30. You know, and then if you leave Brevin or Zach open, they're gonna hit the outside shot and Brevin's gonna attack. So we're pretty balanced. You know, when teams play us straight up, you know, it's kind of all right. Here, you know, anybody can pop off. If they really focus, like I said, they put somebody hard on Calvin. They started doubling Johnny, and that's when, you know, Brevin and Dre started getting some open looks. And then Zach was getting the open three in the corner because they were doubling down with Zach's guy. Johnny just turned and made the nice pass. So, you know, I think we're pretty balanced, and I think that's a good sign of a basketball team that could make a run in the postseason. You know, you can't just rely on one player.
Well, we're looking forward to that game this week on Tuesday. Our Penfield's at Harper Creek. Looks like on my schedule that you're off on Friday, but you have a home game on Saturday at Bronson. Is there a makeup game in the middle of that, or is that the schedule for this week?
That's the way the schedule was. Our league schedule had us with our bye on Friday. So we picked up Bronson for Saturday, and we're looking forward to that matchup. They got probably one of the best players I've seen in smaller school basketball in Cam Brackett, and even bigger school. I mean, Cam Brackett, he's a bucket. That kid is good.
So that'll be a lot of fun, Harper Creek, facing Harper Creek on the road on Tuesday and then Bronson at home on Saturday. A big week for the Panthers and more exciting basketball to come forward for all of us. And I appreciate you calling in, Coach. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We'll talk about the St. Phil's big game from last night. A fun experience for the Tigers. They were able to play at Chrysler Center on the campus of University of Michigan. Coach Kimber wasn't able to join us this morning, a personal family matter, and he wasn't able to be with the team last night either. But St. Phil Tigers had a lot of fun with playing East Jordan in a boys and girls varsity basketball doubleheader in Ann Arbor on the campus of Michigan. And playing on that court was a great experience for those players, and we kind of talked to them last night about that. East Jordan and St. Phil have a connection with The East Jordan coach is the uncle of the Diswick twins. He's Nate Diswick. He's their uncle. And for the last 3 years, East Jordan and St. Phil have kind of set up a situation where they want to play each other on a neutral court. So get some family bragging rights, as it were, maybe. And uncle can play with his nephews, play against his nephews. And 2 years ago, they played at Ferris State. Last year, they played at Western Michigan, and this year they were able to get the play at U of M and got on the court there. And we're talking to St. Phil athletic director last night about that situation, and she kind of said it right where it's an awesome experience for any high school athlete to be able to play in a college atmosphere like that. She said these kids are all, you know, state fans or Michigan fans, and they watch the college basketball games on that court and see D1 athletes play on TV, and for them to be able to see the court up close and personal, that was real cool for them. And on the scoreboard, St. Phil was able to have even more fun when they came away with a 52-47 win. Got that win over East Jordan in Ann Arbor. great experience for those kids and how they kind of came away with that. East Jordan led at halftime 26-24, but St. Phil grabbed the momentum and got on a 6-0 start to start the second half, was up 30-26, and then when the triple went down for Jackson Diswick, they led 38-30 with 1:41 left in third, and they kind of never trailed after that. They hit a bunch of free throws down the end, and came away with that win. Jackson led St. Phil with 19 points, including two triples. His brother Carter had 14 points, and Sawyer Weiss had 8 points and with two triples himself. And St. Phil came out of that, ending the first half of the season 6-2. So that's a great win for them and got some momentum going in the right direction for the Tigers as they're getting ready for a big week coming up. That came after a buzzer-beating loss to Union City in the Chuck Turner Classic. So an up-and-down holiday break for the Tigers. But they're going forward, and they're going to play at Hillsdale Academy on Tuesday. And then they'll have a big game against their rival in Climax Scott's at home at Sheila Guerra Gymnasium on Friday. That'll be a lot of fun for the Tiger fans and the Panther fans, which that's always a big game for them to look forward to. And St. Phil is playing some pretty good basketball with the kind of kids that have a lot of experience and not a ton of seniors on the team, but a lot of kids with 3 years of varsity experience on the court, and that's kind of showing this year as they're really coming into their own with that 6-2 record. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Durant Crum of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats, after this break on 95.3 WBCK FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer here, back with our next Coach of the Morning. We're here with Coach Crum of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
And Happy New Year to you. We're back here for our first Coach's Corner of the new year, and we put the first half of the season behind us, and we can talk about that a little bit and then look forward. And the big event that we've been talking about all morning was the Chuck Turner Holiday Classic, and you guys are right in the middle of that, hosting that at historic Battle Creek Central Fieldhouse. It was the 55th anniversary of the Chuck Turner Holiday Classic, and it was a lot of fun for all the city teams to be in all one place and local basketball fans that watch a lot of basketball. How do you think that kind of turned out?
I thought it turned out really well. People showed up. The city showed up. There were good competition and good games on that day. The only unfortunate part about it is it was just for one day. And traditionally, historically, it's always been a two-day tournament. So, but we felt like it turned out really well.
Yeah, I know local basketball fans really look forward to that every year, and it's been going on for a long time, and it's a nice tradition to keep up. And getting those, some of those teams that don't often get that chance to play at the Battle Central Fieldhouse, I know that can be special for them. And you guys highlighted the night with the last game of the evening, and you hosted Penfield in a tight game near the end here, and you lost 48-41 in a low-scoring affair. And the idea with that game is to keep that low scoring. You and I talked about that a little bit after the game and how that's important for your team right there at this juncture for your roster to keep things low scoring and to play a lot of defense and maybe to muck up the game a little bit with your pressure defense and to keep teams on their heels a little bit. And that seemed to work for the most part. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we're not putting up a whole lot of numbers as far as points offensively. So we talk a lot and we're focusing a lot on the defensive end. That night against Penfield, we didn't do bad. I mean, we were able to contain them for the most part and, you know, keep them at a fairly low score. It's just our score still ended up being lower. So we're still trying to find some consistency in what we're doing. We're still playing in spurts, a couple quarters where we only score 6 points, but you're giving up 12 or 15 points, and it's just hard to stay close. But, you know, 48-41 wasn't bad. We had a chance. We had our opportunities. But Penfield was able to pull it out.
With a free throw by Josh Pittman, you had it down to 38-36 after being down after the third quarter. You were right there within a basket, and then they kind of hit some shots at the end at timely times, and that kept you guys at bay a little bit. And Yashua McDonald and Jarrell Bradley each had 14 points, and I think that's maybe another takeaway from this game. There's a couple guys stepping up for you. Josh Pittman has led you in scoring almost every game this year, and two other guys kind of were able to step up this year, and maybe that bodes well going forward for your group. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we hope so. McDonald had a good night offensively, and I think it helped with his confidence. So we're going to hope that we can build off of that. Bradley's been fairly solid. I mean, you mentioned Pittman being our lead scorer, but Bradley's probably scored, 10 points a game. I think he's pretty close to that. But you need that third person on a consistent basis, and we haven't had that, so we're still searching.
And still searching for some wins here and there, and we've talked all morning to the coaches about how the season can be kind of broken up into different sections, and you maybe put the first half of the season behind you and look forward to the second half. And did you talk about that a little bit during the break, and let's move forward and start maybe the second half at 0-0 and see where we're at?
Absolutely. That's been the conversation. New year. We've got to do some things different. But we got to continue to come to the gym with the mindset that we have work to do. Sometimes the guys lose sight of that, but based on the fact that the calendar year is turned, it is a new year. So we want to look at this as second half of a season or a new season, actually, and see if we can't produce and perform a little better in this second half.
A new year, 2025, so a new season for the Bearcats, and that starts on Thursday. It looks like you get to take the long road trip on a Thursday night all the way to the Lakeshore, play Stevensville Lakeshore. That's always a challenge. Only the one game this week, no makeups right here?
Nothing but Lakeshore on the schedule right now.
Playing Stevensville Lakeshore on the road on a Thursday night is tough for you guys to start the season off, but you guys will be ready for it. So thanks a lot, Coach, for coming on down here, and Happy New Year to you.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Happy New Year to you.
And that's it for Coach's Corner for this Saturday. We'll be back next week with another edition of Coach's Corner here on WPCK 95.3 FM.